Spencer, thank you so much for joining me on 2SER this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so we're talking about how a cashless economy affects like charities and homeless people and buskers and those sorts of things. Can you just give us a bit of information about the things that have been driving this cashless economy in recent times?
Sure. So I think what we've seen in the last several years, particularly in the last year due to the COVID pandemic, is this increase in devices that are cashless. There's been a shift to using peer-to-peer apps like Venmo or PayPal or Square. Those have been increasingly more popular here, and particularly with the younger generation. You know, credit cards have obviously been around for several decades, but as technology has allowed, you know, consumers to share directly from their bank accounts and send money from one account to another, you know, those have been increasingly more prevalent as well. Apple and Google have both used NFC or near field communication technology. And so that has been embedded in our phones. And so even because of the pandemic, that has been used a lot more due to the hesitation to use cash, to pull out cash. The pandemic has definitely accelerated the rate at which these technologies have been adopted by consumers for use. And even on the retail side, for example, we see a lot of businesses that are moving towards cashless businesses. And as well, we've been seeing that on the consumer side, the generational kind of pickup of adopting these new cashless technologies in new ways. So
you've written an article talking about how this cashless system is affecting people like charities, beggars, buskers, people that rely on people having cash in their pockets. And it's kind of obvious to see why this cashless economy is affecting these people. People just don't have the cash on them. Can you give us a bit of an idea of some of the different ways that charities and buskers and homeless people are trying to take part in a cashless system?
Sure. So one of the things that inspired the research that we've been working on, this is research that I've been working on with Dr. Summer Capitan at the Auckland University of Technology. I'm out in Greater Boston in the U.S. And one day I was in downtown Boston, and I saw a person who was soliciting, you know, donations for themselves. And they had on their sign one of the peer-to-peer apps, the handles. So I thought, okay, well, the intuition is, you know, this must be a sound way to be able to make up some of those donations that were otherwise lost due to the drop in cash in people's pockets. And, you know, we kind of looked at it and said, well, this kind of makes sense from an intuitive standpoint, but are people really going to be, you know, so willing to take out their phones or take out their cards or take out, you know, their peer-to-peer apps and start giving money to, you know, to these people who are soliciting? And, you know, the more we kind of got into the research, the less likely we found that, in fact, people were willing to do that. And so it is kind of turned out that the shift to a cashless society has actually been very detrimental to these types of solicitors, these types of both from a charity perspective, from a panhandler perspective, from a busker perspective. All of them tend to be, you know, an intuitive way of asking for change or for money in a cashless economy, yet are not really where people are at with making those donations.
Now, in the cashless economy, trust has been something that's been a trend in businesses as well, because I remember here in Australia, it took a little while for people to get used to the tap and go system with your credit card, because you'd always have to enter in your PIN originally. As that tap and go system became more ubiquitous, people became more comfortable with it, and now most people are happy not to put their PIN in. Do you see this being a similar trend when it comes to beggars, buskers, charities and things like that? And as technology advances and as time moves on, we'll sort of gain a bit more of a comfortable feeling in giving to these people in a cashless way?
Yes. So one of the reasons that we've hypothesized that this happened is because we have these kind of normative expectations of where cash is to be used and where other technologies are to be used, you know, in certain contexts. So, for example, we go to the store, we, you know, expect, you know, yeah, we can take out, you know, our wallets and use cash, but we also expect that a store will take credit cards. You know, sometimes with a charity, you know, if we're at a gala, for example, you know, when you're making donations and you're planning on making those donations while you're there, that's part of the purpose that you're there. There's an expectation that is set. You know, you're not going to give like a $2 donation to the charity while you're at the gala. You're going to give like, you know, $50 or $100, you know, and because that's the purpose of being there. And so you may be likely to take out your credit card to make that type of donation. But we are not used to, we don't have this kind of normative expectation of using these other technologies when we see somebody playing on the street or when we see somebody who's panhandling. So what we've kind of been finding is that, again, it's kind of, you know, people just aren't, I don't think, are set up for this expectation yet. So we are still not at that point, I think, in most of this, you know, most society, where we are anticipating using those technologies to perform, you know, to make those types of payments.
Mm. And what do you see going forward? Do you see this changing? Do you see us getting more used to it and this becoming more widely taken up by the public using these apps and other forms of cashless transactions?
So we had actually tried a couple of studies where we sort of hypothesized some ways that we might be able to go sort of get around this reluctance. We weren't really successful in our research in trying to kind of overturn that. It sort of is kind of asking the, you know, answering your question with a question, which is as a society, we're going to kind of have to go along, you know, on the long haul with this to change and kind of watch the evolution of expectations evolve to a new normal. For example, if we look 40, 50 years ago at credit cards, they existed, but they were not something that people, you know, had just taken out, even in a restaurant. Oftentimes, people would only take out credit cards if they were wealthy. You know, the first credit card was the diner's card. And oftentimes that was, you know, somebody who was wealthy who would put it all, you know, on their tab, on their credit card. Now we use credit cards, you know, like it's not a big deal. I don't know that we're necessarily it's going to take 40, 50 years per se for that to occur with this. However, we do, I think, have to, you know, the expectations have to be changed. So until we kind of are recognizing that society as a whole is shifting towards cashless and being able to use cashless, you know, you're not just going to be out there with a cup asking for money. You're not going to be just out there with your guitar case, busking for money, but you're actually going to be asking for money in other types of technological ways as well.
All right. Well, fantastic. It's fascinating research. Spencer, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about this cashless system and what it holds for the future.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.